Sunday night, dear God. We love the Bible. We love the truth. God, I pray that you would help those that are here to listen intently to the sermon tonight, to put aside the cares of this world for a few moments. We all live such a busy life. But God, I pray that everyone would just focus intently on the Word of God and on the truth at hand. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now the part of this chapter that I wanted to focus on is what God says here to the church of the Laodiceans when he says, I know thy works. He says that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So he's sickened by this group of people. Why? Because, verse 17, this is why God's so sick. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten thee, saying, I love you, but I'm sickened by some things about you. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, the part that I want to focus on in that list of words that God uses to describe this church in verse 17, he gives a list of attributes. He said, this is what makes me sick about your church. That's what he's saying. He said, there are some things when I looked out at the church of the Laodiceans, he said, I love you, but there are some things about your church that just really make me sick, that you need to change. You need to repent. You need to get these changed. What are they? Well, he says you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind. And here's the last one, and naked. That's the one I want to focus on tonight, and naked. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Now, does it strike you a little bit odd in verse 17 that someone would not know that they're naked? Because he says, you think that you're rich, that you're increased with goods, and that you have need of nothing. He says, and knowest not in verse 17 that thou art wretched. He says, you don't know that you're miserable. You don't know that you're poor. You think that because you have money and a fancy car and a fancy house, you think that makes you rich. But he said, you don't realize that you're poor. Not only that, he says, you don't realize you're blind. You think you see what's going on, but you don't. You're blind and you don't realize it. But not only that, he said, you think you're clothed, but you're naked. That's what he's saying. You think you're clothed, but in fact, you happen to be naked. He says, you ought to get some white raiment that thou mayest be clothed and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Now, I'm preaching tonight on clothing. Clothing standards. Listen carefully and I'm going to show you many things from the Bible tonight, some new, some old. But look if you would. Well, just stay there right now. And let me ask you something. What is the purpose of clothing? Why do we wear clothes? Well, the answer is simple. You think that's funny, huh? The answer is simple. Why do we wear clothing? It's to cover up your nakedness. It's so that the shame of thy nakedness... Now, this seems very basic, but it's very important in understanding what we're discussing tonight. Let's start at the beginning. If we're going to talk about what kind of clothes that you should wear, if we're going to talk about what kind of clothes you should not wear, shouldn't we start by understanding what is the purpose of clothing? The purpose of clothing is to cover your nakedness. That's the number one purpose. He says, put on clothing that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Now, I'm going to illustrate something for you. I'm just going to read this list. You don't have to turn there because there are so many scriptures I'm going to read. I'm going to show you the correlation in the Bible between shame and nakedness. It's astounding. Let me read it for you. We just saw it in verse number 18. The shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Just listen to these scriptures. Nahum 3:5. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness, and the kingdoms thy shame. You see that synonymously. I'll show them your nakedness, and he says, and I'll show them thy shame. And then in Revelation 16:15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. Micah 1:11, pass ye away, thou inhabitant of Sapphir, having thy shame naked. Isaiah 24. So shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoners and the Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked and barefoot. Are you listening? Even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. So is having your buttocks uncovered nakedness? Yes, it is, according to the Bible. Is it a shame? Yes, it is. Is being naked a shame? Well, we just saw five places where it's a shame. How? Here's another one. Exodus 32:25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, parentheses, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. Now that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times that God says, it's a shame to be, you ought to be ashamed if you're naked. And then in Genesis 2:25, you don't have to turn there, the Bible says of Adam and Eve, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. First time. So there's the one time when it's not a shameful thing. You know, when it's a man and his wife, that's not shameful at all. But we see a correlation. Seven times in the Bible, God relates nakedness with shame. On and on. Now turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter number 28. And let me show you some scripture. Now, what is nakedness? Okay. Now, we could all have different degrees of what is nakedness. Now, in order to be clothed, in order to be fully clothed, in order to not be naked, do I have to wear coveralls? Do I have to wear a headscarf like the Muslim lady where you can only see her eyes? And do I have to wear gloves not to be naked? I mean, what parts of my body does God consider my nakedness according to the Bible? What is it to be naked? Well, what does it mean? Well, we saw earlier that having your backside uncovered is definitely nakedness. That was in Isaiah 24, in case you've been struggling with that. You weren't really sure that that's really nudity. Well, you know what? There are people all the time that go to the beach and they don't understand that that's nudity. So maybe it does need... Oh, why are you preaching that? Because there are people at the beach right now that are naked, according to the Bible. But not only that, look down at your Bible at Exodus 28:42. Let's see some more things that God tells us. This is what nakedness is. Let me define it for you. Exodus 28:42. And thou shalt make them linen breeches, which are pants. That's an old word for pants. Breeches is that we would spell it B-R-I-T-C-H-E-S. Linen breeches or linen pants to cover their nakedness. From the loins, even under the thighs, they shall reach. So here a man is supposed to wear a pair of pants to cover his nakedness. It's supposed to go from his loins to his thighs. So is having his loins uncovered nakedness? Yes. Is having his thighs uncovered nakedness? Yes, because this clothing needs to cover his loins and his thighs. Look, if you would, at Isaiah 47. Flip forward in your Bible to those three big books at the end of the Old Testament. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Look at Isaiah chapter 47, verse number 1. You see, I like to find out what I believe from the Bible. I like the Bible to tell me what the truth is. Not man-made ideas or man-made traditions or what the world says. Good night. What the world says is appropriate is unbelievable to me. I mean, a woman could have, you know, literally 5% of her body covered in clothing and they would not say that she's naked. I mean, you know that's true. You know that's right. This is a society that's a very naked society. And part of the reason why is because churches do not preach what the Bible teaches about the shame of being nude and what it is to be nude. Well, so far we've seen a few examples, the loins, the thighs, the backside. You know, these are things that are not to be, they're to be covered by clothing. But look at Isaiah 47 verse 1. The Bible reads, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. And that was not even in my list. I don't know how I missed that one. So that's eight times that God connects shame and nakedness in the Bible. So here we see a woman uncovering her thigh in verse number 2. And God says, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Isn't that exactly what he said in Exodus 28:42 when he said that you're to cover your thighs to cover your nakedness? So according to the Bible, a woman who has her thighs exposed, that's nakedness. She's naked. Okay. A woman who is having her backside uncovered, that's nakedness. Now, this is what the Bible teaches. But turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Not only should clothing... We understand, number one, my first point is, what's the primary purpose of clothing? It's to cover up your nakedness. So know what your nakedness is and cover it up with clothing. This is why mini skirts are not acceptable. This is why a mini skirt is not appropriate clothing. This is why short shorts on a man that are halfway up his thigh are not appropriate. Because God describes for us what kind of pants a man should wear. They need to cover his thighs, according to the Bible. You say, are knee-length shorts okay? Yes, they are, because they're covering up his nakedness. Is a knee-length skirt okay? Yes. But see, part of the problem with a knee-length skirt, let me just tell you right now, is that if you wear a skirt that's just right exactly to your knee, just exactly, well, the problem is that sometimes, depending on what type of skirt it is, you might sit down and it goes whoop, you know, up about 4 or 5 inches, you know, or whatever. So you ought to, personally, do I think it's wrong to wear a knee-length skirt? No. Did God say it's wrong? No. But personally, you've never seen, have you ever seen my wife wear a knee-length skirt ever? No. My wife doesn't wear a knee-length skirt, and here's why. Because I like for my wife to just be not even close to what's wrong. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not that it's wrong to be, but I don't try to live my life on the edge, you know, just so I can get by. I think it's wonderful that my wife wears skirts that are down, you know, almost down to her ankles or halfway down her calves or whatever. Why? Just because nobody's going to see her nakedness at all. There's no way it's going to happen. So I'm not, again, what I preach is not always, this is a sin, don't do it. You know, why don't you just strive to dress appropriately in the way that God wants you to dress? Why does everything always have to be, is that a sin? What kind of an attitude is that? I mean, why not just say, what does God want me to wear? What is God? Is God pleased when I'm wearing something that makes men lust after me? Is God pleased when I'm wearing clothing that exposes my nakedness every time I sit down or do something? You know, you ought to be careful to do what God wants you to do here. But look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, and look at verse number 1. And my second point, not only should clothing cover up your nakedness, that's kind of a no-brainer, you'd think, but number 2, your clothing should be modest according to the Bible. Now, modesty is a word that's totally misunderstood. Let's read it together in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. The Bible says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness. Boy, does that look familiar, that word shame? With shamefacedness and sobriety. Not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now let me ask you something. What does the word modest mean? Now most people, if I were to ask them, what does the word modest mean? They'd say, well, it means you're covered up. You know, you're covering up. You're not wearing a low-cut top, or you're not wearing a short skirt, or you're not wearing something that's tight and form-fitting. You're not wearing clothing that looks like you were poured into, like you're some kind of a concrete. Some women, the way they wear their pants or their skirt, it's like it looks like somebody poured concrete. Like they had to pour their body, like they had to turn their body into liquid form and pour it into a pair of pants. Sometimes I wonder if they have to cut the pants off their body at the end of the day, because they're on so tight, I can't even see how they could put them on or off. Is that what modesty really is, though? Well, let's think for a second. How many times is the word modest used in the Bible? One. One time. Now, first of all, let me read you the dictionary definition of modest. Okay, this is just from the dictionary. Number one, having or showing a moderate or humble, listen to that word, humble, estimate of one's merits, importance, etc. Free from vanity, egotism, boastfulness, or great pretensions. Number two, that's number one definition. Number two, free from ostentation or showy extravagance. Now listen, does showy extravagance sound a little bit like what we just read? It sure does, about the broided hair and gold and pearls and costly array. So it sounds like this is lining up with the Bible. Number three, limited or moderate in amount. Number four, having or showing regard for decencies of behavior. speech, dress, etc. Now think for a moment. What does it mean to be modest? If I told you, look, I'm gonna flex my muscles for you right now. I would flex my muscles for you right now, but modesty forbids. Have you ever heard people say that? Or like, you know, I'd tell you about all my great exploits, but modesty forbids. What is modesty? Modesty is when you're not bragging, right? Have you heard the word used that way? Have you heard people use the word modest? Modest means, or if you say, oh, he's too modest. You know, there'll be some kind of a war hero. He's too modest to tell you, you know, what all he accomplished. Let me tell you what he did, because he's too modest to tell you. See, being immodest is boasting, bragging, or drawing attention to yourself, vanity, egotism. Look at me! Hey, everybody, look over here, look at me! That is immodesty. Did anything in those definitions or in the Bible verses that we just read talk about covering your nakedness? No. What did they talk about? So don't miss the teaching that God's trying to teach you. Don't just say, oh, he's just telling us to be modest. Well, what does modest mean? Well, this is what it says it means. It says, modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. Now, the shamefacedness does refer to the fact that you're covered up, that you're covering up your body. But he says in sobriety, what does sobriety mean? Sobriety means seriousness. It's not a joke. It's not, you know, you're serious, you're sober. And then what does it say? Not with broided hair. What is broided hair? That's talking about, you know, some kind of a fancy hairdo. Or gold, or pearls, or costly array. Now, that's what the Bible says that you're not supposed to be wearing. But, which becometh women professing godliness, on the contrary, he's saying, with good works. Now, flip over, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'll explain what I mean by that. And what, well, really what the Bible's saying. I'll show you some other scriptures to help you understand that. But look at 1 Peter chapter number 3. And look at verse number 1 of 1 Peter 3:1. Again, we'll talk about women's clothing in 1 Peter 3:1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, again, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament, look at these words, of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trust in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Now, we see some of the same concepts here, the same list, and the same concept of saying in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that a woman, look down, are you still in 1 Timothy 2? Go back there, because I'm sorry. I need to show you something a little bit later on in the chapter. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. In this discussion of modesty, both in chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, written by Paul, humanly speaking, and 1 Peter, written by Peter, humanly speaking, two totally different people, both being guided by the same Holy Ghost who spake all these words, they both link the same two things, the same two thoughts, of modest apparel. But then he goes on to say in verse number 11, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Now, isn't that the same thing he said over here, a meek and quiet spirit? Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, 1 Timothy 2:12. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So we see here, what does all this mean, Pastor Anderson? Why are these things there? Why does it say this? What do we need to learn? What do we need to see? What does it really mean to say that I'm dressed modestly? It means that you're not dressed flashy. That's what it means. It doesn't necessarily just talk about how low your neckline is, or how short your skirt is, or how tight-fitting it is, although those things are all very important. But it's talking about not dressing flashy in such a way as to draw attention to yourself. You shouldn't be dressed in a way that, I mean, you shouldn't be wearing covered in glitter and sequins. And I mean, do you think that's the way that a Christian's supposed to dress? You may think so, but the Bible says not to. The Bible, now look, flip back if you would. And I'm showing you all these scriptures because I want you to get the complete picture of what I'm saying. Proverbs 31. Because I want you to understand the truth about the way that God wants you to dress. This is not to give anybody a browbeating about the way they dress. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So I'm just trying to show you how to love Jesus with the way that you dress. So this is how you love Jesus. You find out what the Bible says you're supposed to dress, and then you dress like that. Well, look at verse number 21 of Proverbs 31:21. The Bible says, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Now, does this woman wear nice clothes? Yes. Is this the good woman or the bad woman? Good. This is the virtuous woman. He's saying, isn't it wonderful that silk and purple are her clothing? Isn't it wonderful that she has these tapestries for her clothing? Artistically designed, you know, design patterns and beautiful, nice clothing. But the difference here is that this woman is not dressed in a flashy way. There's nothing to say that she's not dressed modestly. Just because her clothing is nice doesn't mean that it's overpriced. That's what he said. He said not to be wearing costly array. Don't go out and buy a dress for $300, $500. That's what he's saying. This woman probably sewed this herself, or she bought it at a good price, and it's nice clothing. Should you dress in sloppy clothes? Oh, I'm going to be modest. I'm just modest, so you dress like the bag lady. You know, you dress like a homeless person. Well, I'm just modest, so I'm just going to wear, you know, all I wear is earth tones, is brown. That's not what he's saying. You know, here a woman could be dressed in a beautiful way. Scarlet, silk, purple, nice clothing is fine. But you've got to understand the difference between dressing nice and dressing in a way that's flashy, prideful, arrogant, filled with self, conceited, look at me. I mean, there are people who go out and spend large amounts of money on clothing so that everybody can look at how wonderful they look. You ought not be drawing attention to yourself. You ought not be wearing this flashy, flamboyant, bizarre clothing so that everybody will look at you. Do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, look at these women. And again, I'm not preaching against specific things. I just want you to understand the mentality, the concept of what I'm saying. The attitude that tells a girl to wear boots that go up to her knees. You know, that are like moon boots or something. Or like, you know, these weirdo stuff. You know, the mentality that says I'm going to tattoo my body and pierce up my body and I'm going to have spiked hair sticking straight up in the air. Now, does the Bible say it's wrong to spike your hair in a mohawk? Straight up in the air? If I just took my hair and just, you know, into a mohawk. Does the Bible doesn't say that that's wrong to look like Woody Woodpecker, you know? The Bible doesn't say that it's wrong. Well, the Bible says you're supposed to be modest. Hey, look at me. Look how cool I am. And that's all these people are trying to do is just get attention. Well, they got my attention. I look at them and say, what in the world? Whoa! Sometimes it catches my eye, some of these weirdo hairdos and weirdo clothes. But is that the way a Christian should dress? Should you dress in such a way that when you walk in the room, everybody just says, what in the world? Or, good night. You know, these people, you know, should you be decorated like a Christmas tree with all your ornaments all over you? Gold ornaments all over you? You should be like Mr. T with like 500 gold chains around your neck? Look, God is saying, he's not saying that it's wrong to have a gold wedding ring on or a pearl necklace. But he's saying you ought not dress in a flashy, self-absorbed, because is it really about you? Is everything so much about you? Or is it about Jesus? And I'm going to tell you something. When people really get the flashiest sometimes, it's for church. You ever see these churches where people come to church in like a red suit, and they have like red shoes and a red hat? You ever been to Chicago? You ever been to inner city Chicago? Well, Dave's been there. He's from there. And, you know, bright purple. Or like black and white, like half their body's black and half it's white, and they got like a cane and stuff, and they pull up in their Mercedes. You know, they're living in this cockroach-infested house, but they come in like a Mercedes, you know. Is the house of God about showing how wonderful you are, or is it about Jesus Christ? Is it about God? Or is it all about, everybody look at me, look how wonderful I am? That's why the pastor's not dressed like Benny Hinn right now. That's why I'm not wearing white patent leather shoes and a white suit and a white tie and all this stuff. And that's why I don't have big gold diamond cufflinks and I'm up, you know, and I got my hair done up all fancy, all poofed up, and I've got rings all over my hands and I'm just so blessed. It's not about me. Are you here because of me? Are you here because you just... I just love to hear Pastor Steve Anderson get up and just rattle his cage three times a week. It's just... It's more... You know, my cable got shut off. I'm bored. I come and just... You know, my Comedy Central got canceled. So I come to Pastor Anderson and just listen to him get up and scream three times a week. Don't you come here because you love the Bible? Don't you come here because you love Jesus? Huh? If Pastor Anderson were God, wouldn't you go to some other independent, fundamental, fire-breathing Baptist church where you can win souls and love people? You know, several times already today I've been told how unloving I was. I was in, me and Gabriel, okay? Me and Gabriel are in Kinko's. We're just making our copies in Kinko's. We're using the paper cutter. We're cutting up copies, you know, we're making invitations. And we're just talking about the Bible. We're just talking about things. We walk out the door, and this young 20-year-old college girl follows us out the door and says, "Excuse me, what church are you the pastor of?" I said, "Faithful Word Baptist Church. Here's a flyer." And she said, "No, I don't want a flyer. I just want to tell you that I listened to you talk for about 5 minutes, and you're so judgmental and critical. I can't believe that you say those things." Isn't that what happened? And what I said, I didn't even really say much to her. I just kind of laughed and said, "Whatever, you know." I just said, "I don't need you to straighten me out. You know, we just got in the car and drove off." And I thought, and I said to Gabriel, I said, "Wasn't she being a little judgmental right there? To hear 5 minutes of a conversation that she knew nothing about, right? To walk in and just kind of overhear while she's copying and pasting her little project. To hear 5 minutes of a conversation she knew nothing about and to tell me how judgmental I am. I don't remember going up to strangers in Kinko's and telling them what I think about their personal conversation. Let me just tell you what I think about what you're talking about. Well, I'm sorry, little Miss Sunflower. I'm sorry, Miss Rainbow Bright. I'm sorry that somebody said something negative in your presence. I'm sorry to hurt your eardrums with a negative word." But the funny thing is... How did I even get off? The funny thing... Here's the funny thing, though. You want to know what the funniest part about it is? The funniest part is that who's really loving? These people who tell me all the time, "You're not loving. You're unchristian. You have a bad spirit. You're mean-spirited." It's like, have you ever seen my spirit? How do you know what my spirit is like? And you know what? And I was thinking to myself, we're here chopping up, you know, invitations. We're cutting them out so that we can fold them. And we went out and knocked doors, and we won somebody to Christ today. We did something with our lives. But we said something negative, so we're really just bad people. Where do these people get off? And you know, the funny thing is, we walk up to a door, we knock on the door, and the girl at the door was crying. She came to the door crying. A college girl. Different girl. She came to the door crying. And I don't know what she was crying. She was crying about something before we got there. And we began to go through it and show her the gospel. And she got saved, and she was happy about that. And she wasn't crying anymore. Who's got the love? Who's got the love? Don't offend anybody? Mr. Never say anything negative? Let everybody go to hell is what he really is. You see, if you love something, you got to hate something. If you don't, you know, there's two kinds of people in this world. There's people who love things and hate things. And then there's people who just don't care about anybody except themselves. That's really what it is. There's people who just don't care. They don't love anybody. They don't hate. You say, "Oh no, there's people, they're just all love." Really? Were they out soul winning? Really? Did they win somebody to cry? Did they come to the door of somebody's crying and sad and hurt in life, and somebody came to them and said, "Let me give you the gospel. Let me give you the good news. Let me give you salvation. Let me give you a home in heaven. Jesus Christ will save you and give you all these things." Who was it that did that? It was a couple of haters. That's the truth. It was a couple of people who talked about something a little bit negative in Kinko's. A couple of guys who had something negative to say in Kinko's, they're the ones who went out and did the love. Why? Because if you don't hate anything, you don't love anything. If nothing makes you sick, you don't love anything. Jesus said, It makes me sick when people are naked. But I love you, he said. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Why did Jesus have so much love? It's the same Jesus that got sick, that got angry, that got mad, that said, this makes me sick. Okay? This is what love and hate are. They're two sides of the same coin. Love the good and hate the evil is what it says in Amos 5:15. Love the good, hate the evil. You can't have one without the other. They go hand in hand. And so, let's get back to the sermon. Let's get back to clothing. So we see here that it's not, this is what I was trying to say about Proverbs 31, it's not saying that you have to wear poor clothes. I try to wear the nicest clothes that I can. You know, I mean, I try to wear, you know, a nice suit. You know, this suit right here, you know, I get my suits at the thrift store for $5 or $10. But some of them are Italian-made suits. Some of them are really nice suits. Because my wife is so diligent. She's the virtuous woman that goes out and searches and finds the deals and finds good, nice things and nice clothing. Hey, I love to wear nice clothes. I want my kids to wear the nicest clothes again. But my wife is not going to go out and spend a bunch of money on a bunch of fancy jewelry, a bunch of fancy clothes, big fancy car. That's not the Christian life, my friend. The Christian life is about others. It's about pointing people to Jesus. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." He didn't say, "Everybody, look at me, look at me." He said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And your clothing should have an attitude of, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Not this flashy thing. And a lot of girls, they think, I'm wearing my knee-length skirt, and I'm dressed right, I'm following all the rules. But they're flashy. They're flamboyant about the way they dress. And they're not serious. Sobriety. You think about these beanies that have the little propeller on the top. Is that what you're supposed to be wearing as a Christian? Some t-shirt with a big joke across the front. You know how it is, these t-shirts with the corny jokes on them. Is that sobriety in your clothing? A beanie with a propeller that spins when you walk. Is that sobriety? No. Okay, I'm just telling you how God said to dress. Dress seriously. Dress nicely. Dress modestly. Not in a way that draws a bunch of attention to yourself. Okay? So number one, our clothing is to be covering of our nakedness. Cover, don't be, have a shamefacedness, a blush. You know, we live in a day where people are just unashamed, unabashed. But you ought to be ashamed to show off your body in a way that's improper. It ought to embarrass you. It should make you feel ashamed in your heart. And it makes God ashamed when you do that. But not only that, it should be modest. It should not be egotistic, vain, boastful, proud. And this is where it comes into the modesty. If you're wearing a low neckline, if you're wearing a low-cut shirt, is that drawing attention to yourself? Yes, it is. By exposing that part of your body, it will draw attention to yourself. It will be immodest. If you wear something that, it covers me up, but it's super tight, that's drawing attention to certain parts of your body. That's not modest. That's where that secondary definition comes from. But don't miss the primary definition of it being flashy and arrogant about the way that you dress. But number three, not only that, but your clothing should be gender specific. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Number one, your clothing should cover nakedness. That's in fact the primary purpose of clothing. You got to have a shamefulness that tells you, I'm ashamed to just flaunt myself. And you know what? I feel sorry for women who feel the need to just flaunt their body on display. Because you know what it tells me? That they have no dignity about themselves. They don't have any shame. They have no dignity, no self-worth, no self-pride that they just feel like it's okay to just expose themselves. I mean, do you think a person really respects themselves who shamelessly exposes their whole body to the world? I mean, how much respect do they really have for themselves? You say, this is just how I dress because it's to attract guys. You know, I don't want guys to think that I'm ugly, and I don't want guys to not notice me. So I'm going to just expose myself. I'm just going to dress very immodestly, short skirt, short shorts. I'm going to wear the low-cut top because I want guys to notice me. Don't you think, let me ask you this question. Don't you think that you have any other qualities that guys could notice? Like, what about the things that God told you that men should notice in 1 Peter chapter 3, where they should be impressed not with your outward adorning, but your inner man. You know, the real you on the inside. Don't you have any personality that somebody would be interested in? I mean, couldn't somebody be interested in some of your character traits and not just a physical body? I mean, do you think that when I married my wife, I just decided, well, that's the physical body that I want right there. I'm just going to pick her. You know, I've told her before, I had to choose between brains and I had to choose between personality and looks. I chose looks. You know, what do you expect? I'm a man, right? But yeah, I'm just kidding. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is, do you think I just picked my wife, I just looked at a whole bunch of girls and just said, this is the one that looks the best? Now, she does look the best. But do you think that's what makes up my decision? No. Obviously, I'm going to pick a woman because of her character, because it's somebody that I want to live with, because it's somebody that I want to spend my life with, somebody that I want to talk to. You know, there's more to life than just your physical body. Did you know that? And so, women that feel that they have to just expose themselves in immodest clothing, it's because they don't understand that they have anything else to offer. This is all I have to offer, so I'm just going to lay it out there on the table and just show them what they're getting. I hope that you as a woman have more to offer to a man than just a physical body. What about your personality, huh? What about your intelligence? What about your godliness? What about your spirituality? That, you know, the right kind of a guy is not looking for somebody who dresses flashy and immodest. They're looking for a woman that has the qualities that I just mentioned. That's what they're looking for. And so you're showing a lack of self-respect and self-dignity when you shamelessly expose yourself to the world. You have to understand that you're more than that. You're better than to dress like that. But look down, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll move on from that point of modesty. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I pray you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head." Now stop for a second. When that says his head, is that talking about his physical head? Well, no, go up a little bit, because you got to pay attention to what you're reading, because in verse number 3, he starts out, he says, "Before we get into this discussion, let me define some terms for you. The head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God." Okay, so now we got those definitions. Now let's read it again. "Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head." So who is he dishonoring? Christ. "But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven." Now what does that mean? Well, let me skip ahead for you to help you understand. Because we want to understand, what does he mean by covered, uncovered? What does that mean? Well, look at verse number 13. And we'll go back and read the rest. But verse 13 says, "Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given her for a covering." So what's the covering? The covering is long hair, right? He says, if a man has long hair, doesn't even nature itself teach you that that's a shameful thing and that a woman's hair is her glory? Well, now with that in mind, let's go back and keep reading. "Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered," verse 4, what's that mean? He's praying or prophesying with long hair. He's preaching with long hair. He's praying out loud, openly with long hair. He's dishonoring Christ. I didn't write this chapter. That's what it says. "But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered," that's talking about a woman having short hair, okay, "dishonoreth her head." Who's she dishonoring? Her husband, the man. "For that is even all one as if she were shaven." He's saying, she might as well just do Britney Spears and just shave it all off. I mean, if she's going to... He's saying, look, ladies, if you're not going to have long hair, why don't you just butch it? Why don't you just go bald? Why don't you just shave your head? Isn't that what it says? Hey, it's the same thing. That's just like if she was shorn. "Let her be covered." Verse 6. 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for her covering. Now, why did God just spend 13 verses talking about the length of your hair? All the way from verse 3, all the way to verse number 15, we talked about the length of your hair. Why? Do you think that's odd? Maybe it's important. Now, what is God saying here? Think with me for a moment. Is God saying that He wants us all to just have a medium hair length? Men, women, let's just be like half long, half short, medium. Is any kind of a medium or middle ground mentioned here? No, He says, I want a man to have short hair, and I want a woman to have long hair. Now, turn back to Deuteronomy 22:5, because the same thing goes for clothing as goes for hair length. Because it's the same God who wrote 1 Corinthians 11 is the same God that wrote Deuteronomy chapter 22. Now think with me for a moment. God is the God that in Genesis chapter 1, over and over, it says God divided. He divided the light from the darkness. He divided the sea from the dry land. He divided the waters above the firmament from the waters below the firmament. He divided the night from the day. He divided time into seasons and days and months and years. God is a God who likes things to be divided. Light, dark. Wet, dry. On, off. Saved, unsaved. Heaven, hell. Right, wrong. Black, white. Does He say, I just want there to be kind of a unisex look? You know, just everybody just has kind of a shaggy head, you know. Kind of long, kind of short. Well, I mean, is my hair really that long? I mean, it's only 7 inches long or whatever, you know. I mean, is that really long hair? I mean, the Bible doesn't say how long. Okay, look, the whole point here, you're missing the point. The whole point in 1 Corinthians 11, get this now, it's that He wants men and women to look different, okay? Do you understand that? He doesn't want them to look the same. He wants one to have short hair and one to have long hair. That's a big difference, isn't it? Now, it used to be that you're out and about, you could immediately tell if someone or something were a man or a woman, right? Because if they have long hair, it's a woman. Short hair, it's a man, right? You ever wondered, you ever scratch your head, and then you, well, they have long hair. You know, I don't know. And you're kind of wondering if it's a man or a woman. Okay. Is that what God wants? No, God likes a distinction. God says, I want men to have this hair, and I want women to have this hair. Well, look at Deuteronomy 22:5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Deuteronomy 22:5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now let me ask you something. Does it say in that verse that putting on a woman's clothing for me as a man is an abomination? No, that's not what it says. It says that if I put on woman's clothing, I'm an abomination. Okay, is that what it says or not? It says, all that do so are abomination. Does He say doing it's the abomination? No. Read your Bible. That's what it says. Deuteronomy 22:5 says, the woman shall not wear that which pertains unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. I don't want to be an abomination. I don't want to be a walking, living, breathing abomination. If I were to go down to the store right now, purchase a dress, a pink dress, or even a blue dress, good night, you know, or a navy blue dress, whatever. A jean dress. If I were to go down and purchase a dress and put it on right now and walk through that door, what would I be? An abomination. Would it make you sick? It sounds, I'm getting sick right now. Hey, it's sickening. Have you ever seen a man wearing a dress before? I have many times. I mean, I'm talking about in real life. I'm talking about in the last month. I work in California, okay? You ever seen a man wearing a dress? You know what it is? It's an abomination. He's an abomination. Sickening. Ugh. Okay. Now, don't you think here that, maybe this is a stretch. Okay. But if he says here for a woman not to wear that which pertaineth unto a man, and for a man not to wear that which pertaineth to a woman, I mean, do you think that maybe we could read between the lines that a man is supposed to wear what pertains to a man, and that a woman is supposed to put on a woman's garment? I mean, am I reading into this? I mean, I'm serious. Am I pushing that too far? Okay, well, how about this, since that's going a little too far, okay. What about this? Will you agree with me that there's such thing as a woman's garment? Because otherwise God wouldn't be talking about things that don't exist. Like imaginary things. Okay, yes, so a woman... Okay, let me ask you. Does there exist clothing that pertains to a man? Or is God just paranoid or something? I don't know. Just, if there were, just don't wear it. It must exist, right? I mean, I have to break this down really simple because people don't believe this. People don't agree with this. Now, what is the clothing that pertains to a man? The Daily Double. The category is Bible. Okay? Well, I used to love it. Never mind. I was going to say this. You know, back in the days of when I used to watch TV, I used to love when I'd watch Jeopardy and the category was Bible. You'd be like, yes! And because they'd ask the dumbest questions and the contestant did not know. You know what I'm talking about? You know, who parted the Red Sea? They're like, Elijah, you know, wrong. Who fed the animals on the ark? You know, John the Baptist. I mean, literally, they don't know anything about it. I mean, they don't ask, they're not asking hard questions. I mean, they ask very basic, easy questions. Is the book of Exodus in the New Testament? You know, yes, or whatever. It's really dumb, and you're in the audience, and you're like, man, I would have made so much money if I was there. You know, of course, when they get to like 15th century opera, you're like, yeah, I don't have a clue. But what is men's clothing anyway? What is the clothing that pertains to a man? Is your buzzer not working? Socks. Nope. It's not socks. Hats. No, it's not a hat. A shirt. No, it's not a shirt either. Shoes? Is it shoes that pertain to a man? A sweater. A jacket. What is it? Pants. Ding, 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 ding. Pants. Pants are men's clothing. That's why on the bathroom door in Pakistan. That's why on the bathroom door in Zimbabwe. That's why on the bathroom door in India. That's why in the bathroom door in China, you will find a man wearing pants as the symbol for a man, universally worldwide. And you'll find on the bathroom door for ladies, a woman wearing a skirt. Now, is that true or false? Why? Because pants pertain to a man. Now, I've heard people say this. Pants are not men's clothing. Pants can go either way. Pants can go either way. They're either men's or women's. I mean, you get ladies' pants, ladies' jeans, capri pants, or whatever. Well, let's think about this. Did God tell us to dress the same? Did God tell us to wear our hair the same? I think God wants us to dress different from one another, men and women. I think that my wife and I should wear different. So let's give it to you for a minute. Now, I just want you to think about these things. Let's say that pants are okay. Let's say women can wear pants. It's fine for women to wear pants. Let's say that for a minute. Okay, well then theoretically, wouldn't my wife and I be able to dress in the exact same clothing? I mean, basically, we could both put on a pair of pants, because you think pants is okay for a woman to wear. So we could both put on a pair of jeans, right? We could both put on a red t-shirt, both put on a pair of shoes, and we'd be dressed like the Bobbsey twins or something. Now look, if we were dressed exactly the same clothing, would that please God? If we had the same haircut, would it please God? So what? She can wear pants as long as it's a day that I'm not wearing pants. What am I going to be wearing? Good night. Whose turn is it to wear pants today, Juja? What kind of silliness is that? Well, as long as your pants are a different color than hers. What? No. The letter of the law here is telling us, don't wear men's clothing, ladies, and ladies don't wear men's clothing. And a woman's clothing is a dress. Do we have anybody that will dispute that it's wrong to wear a dress as a man or a skirt? So what, so women are just allowed to wear everything. But men are not allowed to wear a skirt. But women can wear both skirts or pants. Is that what the verse says? That women can wear whatever they want and that men are restricted from wearing dresses and skirts? No, that's not what it says. It says that there's men's clothing that women should not wear and women's clothing that men should not wear. Now, I don't know why that's so radical or so weird. And to me, I don't really understand what the big deal is about wearing the right clothes. And that's what this whole sermon is about, just wearing the right clothes. What's the big deal? Now, I'm thinking of a lot of things in the Christian life, like reading the Bible daily, memorizing chapters of the Bible, spending hours out soul winning in the heat, praying on your knees, fasting, attending church faithfully 3 times a week. Now, to me, putting on the right clothes is the easiest part of the Christian life. What do you think's easier? Putting on the right clothes or reading the Bible for 1 hour a day? Or 2 hours a day? Which one do you think's easier? Good night. Just put on the right clothes and be done with it. What's easier? Going out soul winning faithfully every week? Preaching the gospel? Winning people to Christ? Or putting on the clothes that God told you to put on? You have to take this opportunity just as an easy way to just obey God. It's so easy. I mean, how hard is it to go to the store and dress the way that God wants you to dress? And dress in manly clothing if you're a man. And dress in feminine clothing if you're a woman. What is the big deal? Oh, it's so uncomfortable to wear a dress. Then why do half the worldly women wear dresses? Oh, I'm going to look like a freak if I wear a dress. People are going to think I'm in a cult. Then why? Look, if you go to the mall, half the girls will be wearing a skirt. Isn't that the truth? Worldly girls, unsaved girls, atheists will wear skirts. Skirts are in fashion all the time. You know that's right. You know that not every woman down at the mall is wearing pants right now. There will be many that are wearing skirts. You don't look like a freak if you wear a dress. You know, I'll tell you this right now. Even before I even really knew much about pants and dresses and all these Bible standards, and even around unsaved people or people who don't care about these things, when I see a woman walk through the door that's wearing a dress, it commands respect. I mean, think about you at your job. If you're sitting in the office, a woman walks in and she's wearing sweatpants and a t-shirt, okay? And then right behind her, a woman walks in that's wearing a nice dress, like silk and purple. Right? Like it said in Proverbs. You know, a nice outfit. Nice, beautiful dress. Well dressed. With long, flowing hair. Okay? She's following the woman who's wearing sweatpants, a t-shirt, and has short hair. Who are you going to have? I mean, wouldn't you just automatically say, this woman is somebody. Look how well dressed she is. Look at how nice she looks. Look how feminine she looks. I mean, it commands respect. You know, if I saw a girl walk, if I'm sitting in an office, are you following my logic? If I'm sitting in an office and a woman walks in and she's wearing short shorts and a low-cut top and a bare midriff, and then on her back right here she's got the tramp stamp, you know. Man, I know all the hip lingo. She's got the tramp stamp, which is the tattoo on the back of her lower back. I learned that from my younger sister. Blame her. She told me that that's what that's called. Okay, and I see the tramp stamp, the short shorts, the low cut. You think I'm just going to say, oh, wow, isn't she so hot? Oh, wow, she's so cool. And then right behind her, I see the woman that's wearing a nice dress that's modest length. Who am I going to have more respect for? Who am I going to think is more important? Who am I going to talk to first? Who am I going to think, okay, this is somebody I need to talk to. This is somebody important. Who am I going to have more respect for in my heart? The woman who's dressed nicely. Why? Because she doesn't have to have everybody staring at her all the time. Because she has enough self-dignity and respect to dress right. She's dressed feminine and modest and right. Even worldly women dress that way sometimes. So you don't look like a freak. That's a dumb excuse. You don't look like you're in a cult. You don't look like a weirdo if you wear a dress. No one will think anything of it. And the only people who will are the people who are dressed wrong. Oh, why are you wearing a skirt? Why don't you put on sweatpants like me? Why don't you wear your pajamas to work like me? Good night. I don't even wear sweatpants and I'm a man, okay? Why? Why don't you wear sweatpants, Pastor Anderson? Because I figured out a long time ago that the way that you dress really influences the way that people treat you and the way that people perceive you. You say, why do you always preach in a certain tie with a white shirt? White shirt, tie, full-blown suit every time in Phoenix, Arizona. Why? Because I don't want to get up casual. Because then people will perceive me as kind of a casual guy. Whatever, you know? Whatever Bible, whatever music, whatever you want to believe, whatever Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, whatever, you know? If I come in with a Hawaiian shirt on and flip-flops. But when I come in with a white shirt and a tie and a suit, does the Bible tell me to dress that way? No. But people look at me and say, man, that guy's no nonsense. Wow, that guy puts on a suit and ties a tie and dresses up every service. He must think that every service is important. Oh, wow. He flew back. He bought a plane ticket out of his own money to fly back to be in church when he's in the middle of vacation. He must think Wednesday night church is pretty important. Hey, he must think I'm pretty important if he flew back just to teach me the Bible. I must be important. Church must be important. The Bible must be important. God's house must be important. What kind of a message are you sending people with the way you dress is what I'm asking you. I found that in my job. If I dress down at my job when I'm doing fire alarm inspections in department stores, I come in to do a fire alarm inspection. Sometimes I might be dressed a little sloppier than others. And if I walk in dressed a little bit sloppy that day, people will treat me poorly. They'll act like, why are you, you're inconvenient. Did you have an appointment? Why are you here doing this? And you're going to have to wait a few minutes. I come in there dressed nice. If I come in there sharp and clean shaven and dressed nice and shirt tucked in, a nice shirt, nice pants, nice shoes, if I walk in, they think I'm important. They think, wow, you know, we better watch out. This guy's the inspector, you know. Oh man, we better watch out. And sometimes I've even gotten a shirt and tie. Just because I was coming from church or I was coming from when I was back in Bible college, I would come straight from college to work. I'd show up at a store in a shirt and tie, and both people treat you with respect. The other day, I think I already told you this illustration, but 3 weeks ago or so, I got on an airplane wearing a shirt and tie. I was just coming off Sunday night church. I was wearing a suit. I walked in, and the male flight attendant said, sit in first class because of the way you're dressed. Literally. And he just put me in first class, didn't charge me a dime. And he just said, hey, come on, you're sitting here, you know. He's like, you're the sharpest dressed guy on this plane. He said, sit down. He said, nobody's dressed this sharp on Sunday night. He's like, Sunday night is like people's day off. He's like, you better sit here. That was pretty cool. You know, I enjoyed my pre-flight beverage, my orange juice, and it was great. It was cool. Why? Because the way I was dressed. So not everything is always just, well, what can I wear and it's not a sin? Don't you want people to respect you? I'm not talking about drawing attention to yourself. Okay, I'm not talking about wearing a white suit or you know, gold suit or whatever. I'm not talking about wearing bright clothes, neon green, neon orange. I don't wear those kind of colors. But I'm talking about dressing nice. It lets people know that you're a sober person. Sobriety. Serious. No nonsense. Somebody whose shirt is untucked and their pants are sagging down, Do you look at them and say, boy, that's a no-nonsense kind of a guy? When you see somebody's boxers, do you say, that guy, that's a no-nonsense kind of a guy right there? You go to the bank and the banker is sagging. You really want to deposit all your money there, don't you? No. And I want people to know me as he's sober, serious, no nonsense. What he's doing is important. He's got something to do today. He's not just roll out of bed, throw on a pair of sweats, roll out of bed and go down to Walmart. You know, that's not the way that I dress. That's why I dress up for church. That's why you ought to dress up for church. That's why you ought to dress Monday through Friday when you go to work like you're somebody, because you're a child of God, because you're the royal priesthood. You're the priesthood of the believer. Look, it said in Revelation chapter 3, he said, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Sardis, he said, that have not defiled their garments, he said, unto you I say, he says, I'll put not... good night, what am I? I'm all mixed up. Let me turn there. In Revelation chapter 3, the Bible says, thou hast a few names even in Sardis. I mixed in another church in there. But verse number 4, it says, thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Now, who's that talking? People that are saved. Are you worthy? Yes, if you're saved, you're worthy. You are worthy to go to heaven someday. It's not because you're so wonderful. It's because Jesus has saved you and exalted you to that position of being a child of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. But if you're God's son, you are somebody. You're not some nobody. You're not some no-name. You are somebody big time. So why don't you dress like you're somebody big time? Why don't you dress nice? Why don't you get up and dress and wear what God said? Not flashy, not drawing attention to yourself, but nice clothes. As nice as you can get. Not spending a bunch of money. But you know, soap and water doesn't really cost that much to wash your clothes, does it? Does it cost that much to tuck in? How much does it cost to tuck in your shirt? How much does it cost to keep your shoes clean? How much does it cost to buy this great invention that's called a belt that Jesus wears, by the way, in the book of Revelation, so that your pants aren't hanging down? It doesn't cost a dime. And people will respect you. God will be pleased with you. And let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you so much for the Bible's teaching, God. Even if we just put these things into practice in our lives, it'll help us at our job for sure. It'll help the boss respect us. It'll help the customer respect us if we dress soberly, as you said in the Bible. Sobriety, shamefacedness, covering up our nakedness, this naked society that we live in. Not me. I'm going to cover my nakedness, and my wife is going to cover her nakedness. We're going to be dressed modestly. God, I pray that you would just please help everyone to think about these things, and nobody to get mad. I don't agree with that. But God, just please help everybody to at least sit down and think about these things and ponder these things and ask themselves whether they're naked and they don't even know it when they put on that short skirt. Or to ask themselves, maybe I'm wearing men's clothing when I put on a pair of pants and I just didn't really know that. God, please just help everybody here to ponder these things, take them to heart, and to dress like a Christian should dress, to dress like you want them to dress. And in Jesus' name I pray.